Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, everyone. So I think that when we get stuck in our ways and close our minds to the possibility of new or different ways of doing things, then we stop growing. And the field and practice of psychology is really no different. Not everything works for everyone. So that being said, I'm excited to have a guest on today to discuss a very unique and innovative modality of treatment that she uses to help people who have eating disorders and body image issues. Sandy James is a lived experience clinician and researcher, a certified eating disorder recovery coach, and vocal advocate. She has recently presented a webinar looking at SURF therapy and water-based approaches to healing for complex and co-occurring disorders. She's also run a pilot mindfulness-based circus arts program for young people struggling with mental health and is about to start a PhD program researching the experiences of eating disorder treatment, identifying, responding to, and addressing harm experienced throughout the treatment process. Sandy's a surfer, scuba diver, and enjoys everything outdoors and is passionate about working with people from a harm reduction and person-centered approach to help others find recovery. All right. Well, Sandy, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you here and learn all about what it is that you do. So I know it's morning for you. It's very early compared to where I'm at, but so good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
So different approach to healing people and helping people. You use water and you tell me what is it that you do, because it's very different.
I am a psychologist by label, and I love anything in the water. So part of what I'm trying to figure out is how to integrate and how to blend the two to help people. So there's a lot of new kind of research at the moment, well, maybe not new, but looking at the theory of blue mind and the impact of water on mental and physical well-being, quality of life. And it's an emerging strategy, I guess, that moves outside of all that protocol kind of driven stuff that I find is not overly effective all the time for all the people. So we need to find different ways to work with people, I think, basically. So yeah, I surf, I scuba dive, I go kayaking. Also, I live in a place where there's like a forest out there at the back of my house. So I took someone walking down there the other day, and there's ticks, so I'm not going there again, but it was fun. You have to learn somehow, right?
Yeah,
completely.
Okay, nice. So is that where you've always lived, or is this new?
No, this is new. I've been in this part of Australia for about 14 months, so just over a year. Before that, I lived in Borneo, which was incredible. So real proper jungle, scuba diving, warm water, incredible, incredible place to go. And I also lived in Thailand for a little while, but so I've been back in Australia since July 22, so just over a year. Yeah, COVID did a serve on everyone, and some, I think, like some of us were differently impacted by that. So having to come back, I'm about to start my PhD, which is very exciting as well. Basically looking at treatment trauma. So all of the things that I'm doing kind of work together. So how is what we're doing harming people, and how can we make it better? And then, like, kind of at the other end of the spectrum, it's like, let's just get people in the water. So.
So, you said you've been helping people, that you said you're a psychologist. So were you doing traditional therapy for years, and then because of what you do, like scuba diving, surfing, all of this, like, was there like an interest in kind of switching modalities? And then you said there's research in this that it's actually helpful. So I'm kind of curious, like, how did this come about that you started to do something a little bit different?
I've always been a little bit outside the box. I'm not one to fit neatly into anything, really. I got into psychology. I worked with, so my history, like, I have lived experience of substance use disorder, of an eating disorder, trauma, and I worked with young people who had behavioral problems in the school. So I was a teacher and got offered a scholarship to study psychology to move more into that area. And then what I thought it was and what it actually was did not align at all. So the educational psych stuff is just like test people, label them, and move them on. And I can't do that. So I got out of that. And then, like, I've always been athletic. And I think when I found recovery, my first glimpse of recovery was through mountain bike riding, with a community of people that didn't identify as recovering or recovered or anything like that, like just kind of regular people that went out and did crazy shit on a mountain bike in the desert, and then come back, have coffee, have cake, talk, and go on with your day. So, yeah, it's always been a little bit looking for different things. I've done circus programs with young people to increase school engagement. And then one other thing, Borneo. I found scuba diving and was like recognized the impact of that on my mental health. So I started researching, like, is there evidence for this? What is going on? And how can I bring that into other people's lives as well? So that's a long-winded way of saying, no, I never really practiced in a mainstream kind of way. And this is an addition to the other things that I've done before. Now that I live here, scuba diving is too expensive and the water's too cold. So surfing is like the next best thing, right?
Interesting. You've had the lived experiences yourself. So, I mean, you said the mountain biking helped you. So, did you actually try the traditional therapy route first, or what happened there?
My first stint in treatment for substance use disorder was when I was about 19. Hardcore, abstinence-based. Can't do anything else except for read this literature. Can't talk to anyone else except for people that are going to a meeting or something like that. That didn't was not effective for me. I'm more from a harm reduction and person-centered approach. So making people do things without getting them on board, I guess, is not helpful. So the way I work these days is if I think something a lot, like, I would never, unless I absolutely have to, right? Like, if there's risk big risk. But I won't do anything without consulting with my people. And if they're not okay with what I'm proposing, then we'll talk about it. How can we make this task possible for you? So, like, you know, increasing nutritional intake, for example. It's like, don't go from 0 to 100. Let's work together and figure out how we can get there rather than fighting against each other. And that's sort of where the water stuff comes in. Like, I had someone who I had intended to take surfing, and the physical goals were not reached, so that then became unsafe. So what we did instead was sit in a kayak. So there's still the water, there's still that engagement with life, and not punishing them for not like achieving the goal or whatever, but providing an alternative that is still pretty spectacular to do.
So, like, as you're talking, I got thinking, so are you holding, like, I guess, quote unquote, sessions with people out in the water? Or is that, what is it that people are doing when they're, say, like, surfing or in a kayak with you out in the water?
Yeah, the sessions are out there. So some of the focus is on building mastery. Like, so if you're in the surf, it's about building mastery. It's about, like, falling down, laughing, getting back up. Like, it's not the end of the world if you can't do it today. We try again tomorrow. Like, those kind of things. We also talk a lot about flow, mindfulness. So, yeah. We did a circus skills program in a school in Malaysia, and it was mindfulness-based circus skills intervention for depression and anxiety, essentially. And that outlined some of the steps that we went through, and what's happening with the surf is, like, taking that and just using a different medium, I guess. So it's about building mastery, it's about asking for help, it's about recognizing limitations, it's about being aware of your body. Like, when you're surfing, you have to know where your feet are, you have to know where your head is, you have to know where your eyes are, you have to know, like, whether your legs are straight or bent, like all of those little things that we don't tend to pay attention to. And so, yeah, I do sessions in the wild. When we went kayaking the other day, it was we were talking about the sounds and the sights and the smells and the body feelings, like just talking through that as we paddle up the creek. So it was fun.
See how that would actually be really interesting for someone who's got the body dysmorphia or eating disorder. You know, the body awareness, and maybe, I don't know, you can speak to that. Like, that must be uncomfortable for some people initially.
100%. It's uncomfortable, and it's differently uncomfortable than, like, it's work that needs to be done at some point, and it's never going to be comfortable until we do it. So how can it be less uncomfortable? Like, I don't want to do this work with someone, like, where it's hyper intense. You're sitting in an office kind of across from them and imagining this stuff. It's like, okay, let's get your body out doing something and talk about it through that medium. Like, what can you notice about the temperature of the water? You know, like, just things like that. What can you hear? How is the breeze hitting your skin? Stuff like that, that can bring it. It's kind of less confronting, and it's a gentler, softer way into doing that really hard work. Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh, you know, because I've had people on here talking about, like, yoga, which is often a part of treatment too, just to try to get people mindful and in touch with their body. And it sounds very kind of on the similar mindset of that. But I'm actually curious too, is there are there people you won't bring out there? Like, I'm just imagining somebody who's extremely restrictive or maybe doesn't have enough fuel or nutrition.
Completely, yeah. The kayaking was the option for that because it, like, just sitting, really. There was no strenuous activity. So, yeah. Also knowing that person and knowing that they're walking every day and they're doing all these other things, kayaking is going to be a lower level risk than what they would normally be doing in a day. So, like, yeah, that it's risky. That was why we didn't go surfing. I'm like, you know, I am not going to take you in the ocean. Probably for like 6 months, we're not going to be ready. But giving them an alternative keeps that hope alive that it might be possible as well. You know, like, if I do all these things, can I go surfing? Yeah, and in the meantime, I'm not going to say you can't do kayaking, for example, which was equally fun. Yeah. Like, I choose not to do yoga. It's a little bit quiet for me. And like, it's that I find yoga kind of intense as well, whereas like sitting in a kayak in a river with birds screaming at you and stuff is like, it gives the brain other things to kind of hold on to as well, not just like what's going on in my body, blah blah blah, you know, because I don't like that either.
Like you said, it's different.
And I'm wondering, it's not better or worse, it's different. So, and I think we need to offer different things because people's brains respond differently and work differently, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering too, you said there's been some research done on this, and I'm, for people that don't know, I don't know any of the research done. So what is out there actually?
There's an organization called the International Surf Therapy Association, so ISTA. They've got a fairly significant reference list in their website. There are surf therapy schools pretty much all around the world, but there's a lot of work going into looking at the flow state that you get into, and I think that that's accessible through other methods as well, right? Like, people get into that state writing or doing artwork or whatever. So it depends on the medium that's good, but there's currently a big thing out there talking about blue mind, because with all those different, it's just like a catch line, right? It's like blue water, water's good, right? Whereas, like, you've also got the nature therapy, kind of the evidence building for that, and people that do forest bathing, I think that's what it's called. Like, not my gig because there's creatures out there that I'm a little bit nervous about. But yeah, like, people just lie down in the forest and soak in the trees. I don't know exactly, but so it's like similar to that, but talking about water and talking about the way when you're in the water, you have to be really aware of like your breath. So if you're scuba diving, if you're like anxious breath is like shallow, right? So you have half a lung of oxygen. If you're scuba diving, you have to be aware of that and the breath, because if you keep half a lung full of oxygen, you become a floater rather than a diver. So knowing what your body is doing is really important. And I think that that's where some of the key comes. But I don't know, do you live near the water?
I mean, it's not a far drive, but...
Don't go often.
I used to live near the water in my 20s, and so I feel kind of locked in inland now, but I do love the water, so...
I get people to think about, so like, a time when you were far away from the water, and then a time when you were like beside the water at the beach, and noticing the difference in like even that memory, and how the like the difference in how that feels for you when you think about, I don't know, being in New York City versus being at a, I don't even know where you live, but being at a beach outside of Boston, right? Like, they're the two most recent places that I went to. And even like in, when we were in New York, thinking like we were beside the water because we went to see that statue, but it's not the same. Like it was cool and nice and stuff, but you know, take me to the beach where waves crash and yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. Absolutely. There's something very calming about the water for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like,
I love that.
Yeah. So probably people listening can, they're probably relating to that for sure. It's just something different. People that say like, do you like the beach, the mountains, the, this and that, there's a very different feel.
Yeah. I think even people that don't particularly like the beach, more it's the sound, like, and the sight. You don't have to get in it either. I can't not get in it because that's where I belong. If I could work out a way to live in there, that would be my preference. But apparently can't do that.
But you've, it sounds like you worked out a way to work in it. And that actually brings up to mind, like, so what if a therapist or psychologist, somebody working, you know, with people wants to do this, do you feel like they need to have certain certifications or qualifications to bring somebody out to surf or kayak, or, you know, in terms of, you know, if somebody has, you know, some kind of accident out there, they need to be able to like save them, that kind of thing. I'm just thinking of like,
yeah,
or people, right?
I'm like, I've got all the certs. Like I'm a rescue diver, dive master. So I have all of that level. And yeah, thanks for bringing that up because it's really essential. Like if you're going in the surf, if you don't have the necessary skills, then make sure someone else is there, like a surf coach or something like that. Kayaking. Yeah, probably same. You have to be able to save someone if they, or at least try, so basic first aid and, but I think also like having skills, like you can't just take someone out kayaking and hope that it works. Like it's actually guided. It's not just like it's, there's intention behind it. It's not like I'm not just taking someone out in a boat. Although that would be nice as well, right?
Well, that's what I'm actually wondering. So for you, did you get any training or was this something that you've kind of created that you found? Like, oh, I've done this kind of thing, or we've kind of gone through these kind of similar protocols with each person that's worked, or how did you kind of start this and then continued on with people?
Yeah, I started initially looking at nature therapy and then also thinking about sort of some of the psychedelic assisted therapy methods and how that's approached, and bringing in some of those. So like, you know, their preparation. So setting the intention, what are we doing? What's the goal? What are we looking at today? And then processing it afterwards. So I'm still working on it, but there is some incredible, like that, in some incredible research going on out there. So in Australia, we have Waves of Wellness. There's one in, there's a couple in the UK, there's surf therapy schools being set up across the world. The scuba diving is something that I'm trying to work on because it tends to be more scary for people.
Well, you know, you're like my mind kind of ping-ponging with so many things. I'm even thinking, you know, like here in the States, and I don't know if it is in Australia, but even to think like taking, you know, somebody out in a walk in the park where it's public and like confidentiality things, and there you are out in the ocean, and I don't know if those things are considerations or those things kind of come up or.
Yeah, I always have those conversations first. Mm-hmm. Like it's never, don't wear a label that says like I'm a therapist. Usually there'll be something that says like surf coach, for example. So all the confidentiality stuff, all the conversations I had before, if we see someone you know, how will we approach that? If this happens, how will we approach that? Do you want to lead or do you want me to lead? Like just all of those kind of regular conversations. Sign, got to protect my ass as well. Yeah. And then if they take photographs and stuff, like, then that's nothing to do with me. So I might post it on social media as being a day trip or holiday or whatever.
That's on them.
Yeah. It's new and therefore difficult at times to navigate and work out what needs to happen. I guess I try and cover as many bases as possible, and also knowing that people are going to not be happy with certain aspects because I am doing it differently. And that always rocks the boat, right? So, yeah, interesting to navigate.
Facets, right? And just curious, mm-hmm. Have you received any criticisms or like negative feedback?
No, there has been some concern, and that's where, you know, like with the medical stability, so getting, requiring medical approval's not the right word, you know, like the doctor says, yeah, you can do this or no, you can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word. Thank you. The criticism has not been direct. It's been more passive and difficult to navigate. And I'm okay with that as well. Like I think my PhD research is also part of that. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So I'm also wondering, you know, I'm just imagining, I have like patients who when it, you know, it comes summertime and the thought of like even wearing a tank top, it, like they really have problems. And I'm imagining somebody going out there in a swimsuit or even a wetsuit and like them just really struggling with that and being seen. And I'm just wondering what comes up for people because I can't even imagine.
Everything comes up and it's not like, it's not just like 0 to 100. Right. So if someone is interested in doing it and they're not comfortable, then how can we navigate that space? Right. So wearing a t-shirt, wearing whatever. So let's work towards the goal. And also knowing, like, I've got board shorts and a shirt, like usually a singlet, but like I'm not wearing a bikini because I find them to be not as functional. I like my shorts and, you know, and that's okay. So it's sort of about normalizing. Let's wear what's comfortable and we'll move towards, like, if your goal is to wear a bikini, then let's have that as the goal, but we need to take steps to get there. It's fun though, because watching, like, I don't know, walking beside people as they challenge their limitations and their boundaries is just so inspiring and mind-blowing. Like people walk out on the beach with shorts on when they've not worn shorts for like 20 years or something. It's super cool.
Yeah, that would be very healing and very just healing and just transformative, just feeling comfortable in their bodies. And
yeah,
I could just see that's just really impactful because that's something you just can't do in the office, right?
Yeah. And I'm also, like, I'm pretty loud, and if they don't want to stand out, then generally I can take that role pretty easily. I've got blue hair, I've got, like, yeah, I wear my board shorts, and so trying to also role model, right? Like, it's okay, you can be loud and a dick and get attention, and, like, people walk away and it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. It's awesome.
So once you go out there and, you know, either surfing, kayaking, do you come back and kind of debrief and process, or how does that work?
It depends. Sometimes it'll happen at the end of the experiential thing. Sometimes not. Sometimes it'll come back to the next session. Sometimes I'll give a journal prompt for writing. Like, this is what I want you to think about between now and when we talk again. It depends, really. Takes some time for the experience to filter in, I think, a lot of the time as well. So giving a little bit of space allows for some of that internal processing before trying to externally process it. Does that make sense? I think so.
Yeah, I would imagine it would take some time to do that. So probably journaling is a good idea.
Yeah, journaling, sitting, writing, talking. And there's a lot of laughter. So it's always fun. Always. It's always fun. Which I like, because that fills my cup as well, right?
We talk about that enough, like having humor, the importance of that. This can be heavy stuff. And, you know, just being able to have some levity and to laugh. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of times, even I find people come in and I don't have any problems today. It's like, well, there's this idea that, like, you always have to go in to a session and, like, just talk about what's wrong, right?
Let's talk about what you've done incredibly amazing this week. I don't know, humor is essential. Like, if you can't laugh, I don't know, what are you recover? Like, for me, what am I recovering for if there's not joy and experience at the other end? Like, it makes sense, right?
Right. That's true. Yeah. Absolutely, right? I think so. That's kind of a marker that things are getting better if people are able to laugh and smile, and you see that joy coming out too.
Yeah, and laugh at the stuff that the mind says, right? So having the courage to be able to vocalize what's going on in your head without that fear of, like, am I gonna put me in the hospital, right? It's like, just let's talk about it and normalize it. And, like, my brain comes up with some really bizarre thoughts sometimes, and I don't know, it's also kind of fun to watch it and notice, like, what are you talking about today? Like, when my brain does tangents. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's true. A lot of eating disorder or ed thoughts are, when you really think about them, they're really quite outrageous. And they can be kind of funny when you really sit back and think about, like, why am I thinking that?
Yeah. Like, you can't have, I don't know, like, there's the bread rule, right? You can't have any more than this particular. And it's like, what is that? How does that even make any sense? But when it's in your head, it's like, no, that, like, 100% that makes sense. Like, really?
Yeah,
that's great.
It makes so much sense in the moment, right?
Yeah, until you step back and go, like, and I guess that's where the humor comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you laugh at it, loses a lot of power.
And I think that's the beauty too of going in to see someone like yourself and just being able to vocalize those things that are in your mind. You know, you think they're so important and they're real, and when you kind of say them out loud and someone else hears them, wait a minute, I'm a bad person today because the scale went up 0.2, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What does that really mean? Or, you know, like, these things that, like, really, when you verbalize them and think about this, like, wait a minute, what am I saying? Why is this all consuming? How is this, like, making my life so awful and miserable, right? And, you know, for anyone listening, it's like, you really think about some of the things you say to yourself and believe, and, like, that's a lot of power.
Yeah. Like, I had someone the other day message me after getting on the scale, and it had flipped the day. And I'm like, okay, so tell me the difference in you and your day between 5 minutes ago and now. And there's nothing except for this random mechanical thing that she stepped on as she went through. So yeah, she was able to, because she couldn't see that until I asked the question, right? And I think that that's where, like, hang on, stop, and let's talk about it a bit. Like, nothing has changed between then and now except for you stood on that thing. And then your day is wrecked. I'm like, how does that even make sense?
And like, you're going to
She moved past it.
Everyone's like, oh my gosh, you look so different. Like, what happens?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'll say to people, like, you know, that's probably less than a shit ways. So let's do it again later after you've had a body motion, right? Whatever that's called. So yeah, always kind of trying to bring in a little bit of lightness, because the topics we talk about are crazy hard and really heavy. So yeah.
Well, I think that what you're doing is great. You're really bringing some, it sounds like, enjoyable, like, movement and activity to people's lives. Just even sitting, you know, in a session and talking at length, you know, like you said, it doesn't work for everybody. So really trying to figure out different modalities and things that can shift people and move people and get people to open up and shift and change. And so, you know, I really appreciate you bringing this here and talking about it, because even for myself, like I said, I didn't know there was even research being done or like that this was a thing. So,
yeah.
I think we need to open our minds and know, like, hey, there are different practitioners out there doing different things. And if something's not working for you, like shift gears.
Ask. Yeah. Like I do in office sessions as well, obviously. Like, I just, like, not every session is done in the water. Like, there's, like, it's sort of more nuanced, I guess, than I make it sound a lot of the time. But I think just getting the word out that there are different approaches to health and well-being, and we need to work together to, like, help people find what works for them, well, instead of trying to keep people.
Yeah. So, if, you know, obviously I'm in the States, but you're in Australia. So, I mean, if somebody's listening, and we do have listeners in Australia, and they want to work with you, they want to find you, or if other professionals listening want to know more about the research you're doing or the research that is out there, maybe bring it to the States, like, how can they get in touch with you, find you?
My website may or may not be working at the moment. I'm trying to get it, something's happened to it, but it's www.sandyjames.com.au. I'm also on Instagram, Sandy in the World. I've just put my name usually. They're all public websites. They're the main ways. Or just Google my name and Sunshine Coast, and I'll probably come up.
Well, I will have links to all that as well. So if people want to find you, hopefully by the time this airs, your website will be up and functional. So,
oh, I hope so. It's been like a week, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, reach out, because I'm also planning to come to the States for a bit. Next year again. I was there for the conference in Washington, D.C. in June, I think it was. So working on abstracts and stuff for next year.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, hopeful. My plan.
Great. Well, you are definitely the traveler. That's exciting.
Sitting still? Yeah, no. Don't do that.
Final words before we end, Sandy?
Nah, not really. Just reach out if you have any questions. I'm really accessible. And, some people tell me I'm scary, but I disagree. I think scary is a different word for honest in some vocabulary.
All right. Well, thank you again so much. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. It was awesome to chat.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.